Hello, and welcome to Ask a Historian. I'm Matthew Wilkinson, historian with Heritage Mississauga. Like, subscribe, and follow us, and stay up to date on all the heritage happenings with Heritage Mississauga. And for Ask a Historian, we invite you to send in your questions, and we'll explore the fascinating stories of the city of Mississauga together. On this week's episode of Ask a Historian, we welcome from the Museums of Mississauga lead historic interpreter and exhibitions, Amanda Barbosa, and we will explore an exciting new program through the Museums of Mississauga celebrating the city of Mississauga's 50th anniversary. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us here on Ask a Historian, and you have an exciting new project with the Museums of Mississauga. Connecting to the city of Mississauga's 50th anniversary, and it is a virtual exhibit slash GIS what's the right word? Scavenger hunt ar around the city. Can you tell us about it and tell us how people can engage with the program?
Yes, of course. So it is such a new and exciting project for museums, and we are super thrilled to be sharing this with the community. It will be a platform that we envision using much more going forward, and I believe a lot of people will enjoy interacting with it. There is a lot to explore and a variety of different and unique ways that it can be visually laid out, which I think helps bring the subject matter to life. This particular digital exhibit is made using ArcGIS Story Maps, which is essentially a story authoring web-based application that allows the sharing of maps to tell stories. So essentially, it really is a modern platform for telling stories with maps. There are so many great features. So stories often include things like maps, narrative text, images, videos, and other media. The digital exhibit the museums have created is meant to celebrate the city of Mississauga's 50th anniversary through sharing 50 artifacts to tell the history of the city. Users are able to explore the hidden stories behind each of these unique artifacts. For example, take the story of the steamer trunk. It belonged to Vincenzo or Jimmy Ferraro, who immigrated from a small town in Italy in 1910 with only what could fit in this trunk. He worked at the Cooksville Brickyard, which at the time many immigrants from Italy worked there as well. And he encouraged many other family members to come to Canada, and eventually he was joined by his three brothers and father. So when looking at this particular artifact, participants can read about the artifact and view the artifact location on an interactive map.
And so to find people around, so it's an app that they download, the ArcGIS, right? And it really gives you coordinates to kind of wander around the city. Is that essentially it to find these artifacts?
So as I mentioned, it's a web
Yeah, sorry. I don't mean physically.
not physically. So yeah, virtually, participants can explore these different artifacts. I mentioned as well, there's every artifact is linked to a neighborhood. Participants can find each artifact in these neighborhoods, and they will be able each artifact is linked to a map. So within that map, they can explore where the artifact is linked to, as well as its surrounding area.
That's such a neat idea of just a way to virtually explore your neighborhood and kind of connect to the history of, different parts of our city. It's a fascinating way to do that.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is such a cool and interactive way. And I think it, like I mentioned, it really just helps to bring this history to life. It's a fun way of interacting with the city's history.
So you shared with us the story of the steamer trunk and Vincenzo. Are there any other favorites or little tidbits you can share with us to kind of whet the appetite here for people wanting to explore the program?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, as I mentioned, it's very user friendly, and it will be very, I think participants will find it very easy to navigate. So, I'll start with saying some of the little tidbits. One thing to look out for is the navigational ribbon, which is located at the top of the platform. The digital exhibit is organized, as I've mentioned, by neighborhood, and all of them are listed on this ribbon. So it'd be easy for participants to click on the different neighborhoods. So if there's a particular neighborhood that they're most interested in, they can click on that and it'll take them to that particular section. Before exploring the artifacts, I also want to mention that there is a section on about the museums, which we plan on updating on a regular basis. So you can find out about current exhibitions, events, programs, things like that. It will also be linked to the museum's page to learn more and perhaps even visit an on-site visit. Another tidbit is that participants will find that some artifacts are laid out in different ways, but they are all connected or linked to an interactive map. A fun tip, so as we were talking about, sort of like that scavengery part to it, is that participants can zoom in on the map and type in their own address or an address that they are interested in finding out about and find out how where it is in relation to where a particular artifact is on that map. So that's really cool. Yeah, so if you're not too sure, you find a map and you see, let's say, the steamer trunk, you find out where it is, but you want to know where it is in relation to where you are, you can put it in your own address and it'll take you, it'll show you what the distance is. And then you also mentioned some of my what other favorite stories I have. So one is actually in the Malta neighborhood, and it's the Innocent Youth album. So this is a really cool story. So Innocent Youth was the only album of Earth, Roots, and Water, which is a reggae house band for Summer Records. So Summer Records was located in Malton and was owned and operated by producer Jerry Brown. It was one of Canada's first Black-owned record labels, as well as one of the first to release in Canadian-made reggae music. I think it's just so cool. Earth, Roots, and Water actually opened for the Police and the Stranglers in Toronto in 1977. And then in 1978, the band received recognition from Billboard, who called their sound disco reggae. And they were re-recorded in 2007 and released by Light in the Attic's Jamaica to Toronto series in 2008. So that was like one story that really stood out to me. Like, it's just so important and really interesting to learn about.
I just find it fascinating. We have this, we got to do more. We got to dig more into this record label out of Malta. This
I that's something I actually want to do. I think it's like, yeah, not a lot of people know about this, and yeah, it's a fascinating story. Another one of my favorite stories is in the Here Ontario neighborhood. So Butaca chair. So this chair was originally from the Philippines, and it belonged to Gloria Anseato, who immigrated to Canada in the early 1970s. So she was encouraged by her parents to study in Canada to become a nurse, and she attended Credit Valley School of Nursing next to Mississauga Hospital, actually. And then she stayed there in residence by the hospital, and later she started a family and lived in Lakeview, and then moved to Huron, Ontario. So this chair is actually believed to be a bamboo version of a butaca or reclining chair. And given its small size, this one was most likely used by a child. However, regular butacas have long armrests, which are not used for the arms, but for the legs. And they're known as little hospitals because pregnant women, sorry, would use them to give birth. So very interesting little fact. Yeah, and you would never guess by looking at it. It's a very interesting looking chair, but yeah, it's pretty cool. And I have one more favorite that I would like to bring up, and I think this might ring a bell for you, Matthew. The strawberry picking hat that belonged to Sarah Bonham Adamson, and I believe she was your great grandmother.
Was, yes, indeed.
Yeah. Would you like to say a little bit about her? I mean, I think it's cool listening it to you from someone who was related to
I said, you're putting me on the spot here. I wasn't prepared.
her.
So I, you know, unfortunately, I never had the chance to meet her as she had passed before I was born, but my mother certainly knew her. My mom, kind of complicated family. Her father passed away when she was only 4 years of age. And my mom spent a great deal of her youth growing up at her grandparents' farm, my great grandparents. And so her father figure was actually her grandfather, Sarah's husband. And obviously Sarah was part of that mix as well. My mom, just as a segue, she spent 43 years as an elementary teacher here in Mississauga. And she was inspired to teach through her grandmother. grandmother, because before her grandmother was married, she also was a teacher. And so a
Mm-hmm.
lot of the stories my mom told actually came down through her grandmother, who for, her early youth really was a mother figure for her, because of, with the passing of her father. And so a lot of those stories that passed down to us, including my mom's favorite saying, which was, "Have jam tarts when jam tarts are passing," is something that her grandmother said, and that has passed down to us. So Sarah herself, I know she grew up on a farm out Winston Churchill, north of Eglinton, met her future husband, who had done some work for her father. So it's a convoluted story, but they moved to Airedale and had a farm here in Airedale, where the Airedale High School is located today. That was the Adamson farm that my mom grew up on. A great big farmhouse was built there. Charlie was a bit of a dreamer. Charlie's son, my uncle, Jeffrey, wrote a book on growing up at the on that farm, and it's called Next Year, if you ever get a hand on that. And it's a lot of stories about Sarah and Charlie, my mom's grandfather, my great grandfather. So Ch Sarah and Charlie, and a lot of their stories growing up on that farm. Charlie was the dreamer, and Sarah was the practical one. And that's the stories that get passed.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, lots of stories around there. Again, unfortunately, I never had a chance to meet either of my great grandparents, but certainly the stories that my mom shared passed down greatly. So Sarah is somebody who's lived in our house even long after she passed away in terms of a memory. So it's yeah. Sorry, you put me on the spot there. I wasn't prepared.
No, I mean, I think it's so fascinating. Like already it's generating conversation, right? Like you look at these different artifacts and it's not just an artifact, it's the story behind it and where it's linked to in the city of Mississauga. So,
I love
yeah.
that. I love that a lot of the artifacts are kind of everyday items from, like, they have a special story that we that helped highlight kind of the evolution of our city and the people that have lived here over time. But really, for the people that had them, they were part of their story. It was part of their life. It was part a hat hanging on the wall that was worn at any given time. Probably most of us don't even think about preserving our
So
hat.
that the steam car trunk, it's a fascinating story because I think there's Mississauga itself is made up of so many people who have immigrated here, and it's that the story of what did you bring, what is meaningful to you, what is important to you to bring to the country that you were planning on living for perhaps the rest of your life. So yeah, it's very interesting and just important stories, I think.
And in a way too, I always talk to people about trunks like that. I said that's the luggage of the era. I mean, that's that we all
Yes,
travel
that too.
and we think of that luggage that gets thrown on. Well, steamer trunks could be stacked, and they were hard, and they were able to transport things that would potentially be broken or lost otherwise. And I just think it's a fascinating way in which people interact with, coming to a new country. And in a way, probably everything that trunk carried at one point is gone, but the trunk survives. It's kind of a neat,
But the trunk survives, yeah. Yeah, I
fascinating.
know they're quite different from the suitcases we have today.
It's not quite the carry-on that you can stuff up.
No. Don't think so.
So how long, it's a fascinating idea for a program. I love the concept of sharing stories, and the way that people can connect to on the map with their, where they are or where they live today, I think is fascinating. How long does it run, the program itself?
Yeah, so funnily enough, it officially launched as part of Heritage Week, which is this week. And we want it's going to be running all year long, so till the end of December. And as I mentioned before, we are planning on using this platform in the future to share and highlight stories from our collections going forward. So I look at it as a way to quite literally bring artifacts and their stories out of the vault. So I think participants should be on the lookout for that, where we'll be providing a lot more of these exhibits in the future with different stories, different artifacts, and yeah, so it's a really great platform. I can't emphasize that enough. It's really almost revolutionary, I want to say.
I was gonna say, and I don't mean this by any stretch as being, just by the seat of your pants or anything. I know there's a lot of thought and a lot of planning has gone into this, but in a way, people participating in this are also, they're guinea pigs. This is the first one,
Exactly. Yeah.
Look for more to come. And I think that it's a fascinating way to, engage with our stories. I mean, I don't want to dissuade anybody listening to this. Go to the museums. Go take a tour. Amazing
Yeah.
clothes. Amazing staff. Amazing programs. Go and explore. But if you can't go,
Yeah, so exploring these artifacts is a great way to bring out these stories for our participants, our visitors to view, which again, like I said, when it comes to our artifact collection, we do try to use as many as we can in our exhibits, but not all of them are relevant or we can use. So this platform will allow those artifacts and those stories to be accessible.
Erica, the transit robot needs more daylight.
Oh yeah. So actually, did you know we next week are bringing Erica to the IDEA at Square One? I don't know if you've
Okay.
ever been to IDEA. Yeah, so it's going to be at Square One starting next week.
Fantastic. Everyone, go
Yeah.
see Erica. You'll not believe what was
Yes.
created in the 1970s. It's awesome.
Yeah. That's a cool. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I think definitely everyone, if you have a chance, go and view it. It'll be starting on Tuesday. It'll be accessible to view.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that thought. I know it takes a team of people. I know there's a lot of hands on this. In museums, you've led the charge, and this has been an awesome program to share our history. Can you just do a hat tip to those involved? We can give a shout out to everyone who's played a hand in this.
Yes, of course. So there were definitely a number of people behind the developments program, as you've mentioned. So mainly it was the exhibits and collections team who worked really hard on this project. It took a lot of collaboration and, of course, back and forth meetings. We also, of course, worked with the city's team on navigating the ArcGIS platform itself. And I would also like to take this chance to thank Heritage Mississauga and yourself, Matthew. You and your team, as always, were a great help and offered a ton of support throughout the entire process. Lastly, I want to shout out to the Friends of the Museum of Mississauga. They do a lot for us and are always promoting and supporting the museums of Mississauga through many different ways. So I apologize, I didn't really mention who in the exhibit and collections team. So it was myself, Megan Wiles, who was the exhibitions and outreach coordinator, and then Stephanie Muse, Tracy Oliveira, and Robert Stanchek, who are all part of the collections team at the museums.
And from an outsider looking in, a fantastic team to work with. So a great job on you guys. It takes a group, but the vision here, the idea is a fantastic one, and I think it's a neat way to explore not only this subject, but again, open the door for potential future uses in sharing our stories. So,
Exactly.
kudos whoever had the original idea. What are some other ways that residents can celebrate Mississauga's 50th? I know we got the year-long programs, there's a whole lot of things going on, but just give it a
Oh
taste
yeah.
of some other things happening.
Yeah, so one is another way is partaking in the history hunt, which you may or may not be familiar with already. So the museums have hidden these same 50 artifacts that are part of the ArcGIS exhibit as part of a citywide scavenger. So think of this as more of like 50 virtual artifacts that have been planted across the city, if you will. So participants can explore green spaces, trails, parks, and public art installations and learn some history along the way. So the majority of these are located in parks and places as that in the city. So the history hunt, it features 10 tours, again, organized by different neighborhoods, and each have 5 stops to explore. So participants can complete each tour and collect badges along the way to enter into monthly contest draws and win really cool prizes like Raptors 905 tickets. We have like escape rooms, a lot of fun things. And if they complete all 10 tours, they can enter into a draw to win a Nintendo Switch. And so Some of the ways participants can access History Hunt is through downloading the app. It's called the History Hunt on their phones. It's accessible both on Android and Apple. And they can also access it on a browser by scanning the QR codes at each physical checkpoint throughout the city. Yeah, it's a really cool and a unique way to explore not only the artifacts and the history, but also the location where we're putting them in. So you'll find if they're located in a park, you can find out a little bit about that park and its history. It may be located in a community center. You can find out about different programs that are offered at that particular community center. And along the way, you get a chance to win some really cool prizes. So.
I've done a couple of stops already. No, I cheat because one's outside my front door. There's a hint. But the I'm amazed at the kind of the layers of information. Really well done to kind of connect beyond just one stop. It is a really neat program.
Exactly. Yeah.
Again, it takes a team and just kudos for that program as well. How about anything else? Anything else jump into mind in terms of anniversary?
So in terms of what the city itself is doing, I mean, not apart from museums, there are different events happening. So we have the there's the time capsule. So the city is looking for ideas of what to include in Mississauga's 50th anniversary time capsule. And it'll basically showcase what life is like in Mississauga today. And then it'll be opened in 2049 as part of the city's 75th anniversary. So you can find that on our website, and you can include whatever you might think would be interesting to open in our 75th anniversary.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
Let's hope we don't lose it. We have a history of losing time capsules, but
Oh,
that's
that is the
another
case.
story for another
Exactly. Yeah.
day. Well,
Yeah, and if you, sorry, yeah, like on our website, there's actually a 50 things that you can do throughout the year, such as there's Karasaga, the cherry blossoms at Korea Park, there's gonna be like night markets, the Canada Day celebrations, all sorts of things.
fantastic. I love the idea of just getting out and connecting to our city and life here in Mississauga today. What better way to celebrate our 50th than to celebrate the city we are? And I think that's fantastic. So with that, Amanda, thank you so much. I encourage everyone to check out the ArcGIS program and navigate our city stories, explore the city in a different way, and also go out to the museums. Well worth a visit.
We are constantly rotating our exhibits, so definitely always something to check out. Including we have a big event coming up, our Maple Magic event in March, so definitely keep your eye out for that.
Always a highlight for me and my kids. They look forward to it every year. So
Yes.
we'll be knocking on your door just as goofy residents interested in maple things. And the but again, Maple Magic is really a magical time to connect with the museums, a really busy, fun event. All year round programs throughout the year. And stay tabs on the museum website. I'm sure there are more and better things to come, not only
Oh,
this year
yes.
but beyond. I wish you all the success with this program and the others. So.
Thank you so very much, Matthew. Again, thank you for having me on this Ask a Historian episode, and I'm so glad to have been able to share this with the community.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for spending some time with us here at Ask a Historian. And thank you also to Amanda Barbosa for sharing this exciting new project from the Museums of Mississauga celebrating the city's 50th anniversary. And we would be remiss if we didn't say also as a sincere thank you to Lisa Abbott, particularly with the development of the History Hunt, which was also integral to the development of this new program through ArcGIS with the Museums of Mississauga. Thank you again for spending some time with us, and don't forget to send in your questions, and we'll explore the fascinating stories of the city of Mississauga here together at Ask a Historian. Like, subscribe, and follow us, and stay up to date on all the heritage happenings with Heritage Mississauga, and we will see you in future weeks with new episodes of Ask a Historian.